consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, light workers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Rosalind Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindsets and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spots that activate your soulgasmic business. Enjoy this light language activation as we begin to magnetize and monetize.
Loves, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm so honored to have you choose to listen to this sexy episode. It's going to be so fun. Financial planning in between the sheets. Please do leave a review. Take a screenshot of this podcast and shout me out on social media so that more people can know about this. On Instagram, it's Bold Sexy Warrior. And on Facebook, it's Rosalind Fung Coaching Bold Sexy Warrior. And I'm also going to be running my free 5-day self-promotion challenge starting February 8th. This is for you if you're a heart-driven coach, a healer, practitioner, therapist, or light worker. You're here to transform others' lives and you're desiring to organically attract your soulmate clients with ease, fun, and flow by leveraging social media. I am so excited for this, you guys. Only a couple more weeks, and my 5-day challenge is not your typical challenge. It is a container of activations. I'm going to bring in all my gifts of being a Karuna Reiki master, an Akashic record reader, and my light language, in addition to my background as a psychologist and business marketing and social media marketing skills and strategies that really help you take yourself to the next level. So join me at www.7figureconfidence.com/challenge. Now on to today's episode. I am so excited. I'm excited. When am I not really, right, guys? But I'm extra excited because I have an extra special guest today. It's my sexy silver fox and financial planner husband, Dan.
Hello, hello.
And usually we do a pleasure and bedroom in the bank episode, but I thought it might be kind of fun to have him as a guest, like my other guests, and interview him. And so I have shared Dan's bio before, and I'm going to do that. And the cool thing about this episode is he has no freaking clue what sort of questions I got under my sleeve.
Living by the sword, hey? Living dangerously.
So we are going to turn, because I know, like, financial planning isn't the sexiest topic, but we're really going to turn it up and get juicy with financial planning. And this is for you if you're wondering, like, what does financial freedom actually look like? What are people's top money struggles? And especially as entrepreneurs, what's really helpful to know from a financial planning perspective when it comes to our relationship with money? So Dan Haig is an incredibly caring man, a phenomenal husband. He did not pay me to say that. even all my girlfriends are like, girl, you are so lucky. Can my husband like hang out with yours so that there is a little bit of Dan rubbing off and Dan vibes rubbing off? Dan is really incredible. And he's an amazing dad to our very two high energy boys, a generator of community, a champion of charity, and an avid believer that health is wealth. He is a soloist finisher of the Canadian Death Race, which is a 125 kilometers race up and down three mountains in Grand Cache, Alberta. which is, for those of you who don't know where that is, that's just outside of Alberta, Jasper, where the Rocky Mountains are. And he finished it in 22 hours and 21 minutes. You have 24 hours to complete the race. And no big deal, right?
The hardest physical thing I've done my whole life.
Pretty incredible accomplishment. He is also a one-time record holder of the most amount of stairs climbed at the Great Stair Climb at the Tallis Tower here in our local hometown of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Which, just to put this into perspective, is a 34-story high-rise office tower consisting of, ready for this, 716 stairs. That's right. He climbed this 47 times in 18 hours, meaning that he ascended and descended over 67,000 stairs. Holy moly, try to wrap your head around that. He just happens to also be a certified financial planner, registered retirement consultant, and a chartered insurance professional. Dan also has a business degree specializing in marketing. So ambitious people who have a focus on developing and maintaining wealth hire Dan to guide them through the complex world of finances. He helps you increase your confidence in your own financial picture, work with you to outline a solid path to achieve your personal financial goals, and is a pillar of support, ethics, education, and expertise. He uses efficient and effective financial strategies, some not available to the general market, to ensure his clients' wealth is enhanced. Bottom line, people trust Dan to walk them through this process to help them maximize their money. And my love, you are certified across Canada. However, what we're going to share and the things that you share may be applicable to people in North America as well, correct?
For sure. Yeah, we can just talk about some general concepts, right? And they apply to anyone, US or Canada, regardless.
Beautiful. Okay, we're not going to start there. We're actually going to start with your story. And that's usually what I love to ask my guests on is, please share with us, what is your story to get you to who you are today and why you're doing what you're doing?
Yeah, great. So this is a story I share quite often, and it really comes down to your mindset about money, right? So I grew up in a family where my mom was a poor farm girl. She was raised on a farm in northern Alberta to immigrants who came over from Germany after World War II, and they had no money. So my mom had no money, and she grew up with that mentality that money is just overwhelming, and she would often say, I don't deserve wealth, right? So she carried that mindset with her throughout her whole life. And then my dad, on the other hand, he just didn't really have any education about money. He was actually a priest for a while. Then he was a professor at the University of Alberta. So he didn't have to worry about money at all because he had a pension plan, all that type of thing. So he kind of invested in the same things that everyone else invested in because that's what his friends were doing. So when I look back at my history and their history, and with the education and knowledge that I have now, I can see that I could have made a big difference in their lives, right? Like, my parents weren't poor people. They weren't abundantly rich, but I know I could have made their lives so much better just with the knowledge that I have right now, just by making a few small tweaks to their financial plan. So, you know, that's what fires me up. And, you know, Roz says that financial planning isn't sexy. And then when we use terms like efficient and effective, yes, those are not sexy terms. I agree with that. But it can be fun, right? Financial planning can be fun, especially when you put the human element in there. And you don't talk about, you know, charts and graphs and abbreviations and taxes so much as you talk about what people can accomplish. What are their goals? What are their ambitions? What's the human side of the equation? So I think when you interpret it that way, you know, financial planning is a very fun thing. And that's what fires me up, helping people to embrace it and have a positive mindset around money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful, love. Thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, there is a deeper side to this, and I'd love for you to share that vulnerably as well, is, you know, you're also with your sister, like how this is a big part of your why.
Yeah, exactly. So my sister, she's 7 years older than me. She moved out to British Columbia on the west coast of Canada. She had a 10-year-old daughter. And so when I started my career as a financial planner, I would try and talk to her about what's going on with her situation. But, you know, it's hard to talk to family about finances, right? It's because you have so many different relationships going. And my sister said, I don't trust life insurance companies because they never pay out. And wherever she got these ideas from, I don't know. But she says, I don't trust life insurance companies. So she never did buy any life insurance. Well, unfortunately, at the age of 40, she passed away. So she had a husband and a daughter who basically got nothing financially. So on top of all the emotional turmoil of losing your mom and your wife, also to have nothing to support you at the most crucial time of your life, it's a very difficult place to be, right? And so because of her mistrust, it basically hurt her loved ones, right? So when it comes down to the word insurance, and that's not a very exciting topic. However, it's there for a reason, and it doesn't have to be something that holds you back, right? Insurance is not expensive. Life insurance is not expensive. People think it's going to cost them an arm and a leg for it.
Oh, okay. So is that what stops a lot of people?
Cost is a big one, but it's really the lack of knowledge around it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, people say, oh, I don't want to buy it because, you know, especially people in their 20s and 30s, they may not know people who have passed away, but the older we get, the more people we know in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s who pass away prematurely. It happens. I think we all know people who have passed away ahead of their time, I should say. And that's usually a trigger point for people. It's reacting to other people rather than being proactive. So when I relate this story about my sister and other stories, I mean, you can name off Kobe Bryant. He passed away, right? Who would have expected that? There's so many people year after year who pass away much, you know, prematurely, and it shocks people. It happens. It doesn't matter who you are, right? Paying $20 a month, $40 a month for that peace of mind that your family will be protected, to me, that's a small price to pay.
Well, and there's something that you, there's a couple pieces I want to share and highlight that you just spoke about. So number one, it's like we live in a very reactive world.
Yes.
And when we go into our relationship with money, I truly believe that most people are reactive in their relationship with money. We grow up being reactive because what do we see? We see fights between our parents. We see family and loved ones breaking apart over money. We see reaction. And then we react based on what we're witnessing. And we hear usually negative things from people about something that's related to money. So we're reacting. And so we learned that money isn't safe. Money isn't, it causes trouble. And so no wonder a lot of us have a lot of behaviors that are very reactive in their relationship with money. And that's not to say judgmental, it's to help you see, like, yeah, that's normal, but normal doesn't mean it's okay, because it's not, if it's not serving and supporting, that's really going to be working against you. And then the second thing that you shared was, you didn't share, but what came to mind was something that you really taught me, that cost is only an issue when value is absent.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so if we could have peace of mind, what would that be worth to you? Let me ask you that. If you could have peace of mind, what would that be worth to you?
And I really want to emphasize that statement, right? Peace of mind is what it comes down to. So, and you cannot put a price on that, right? So
really reflecting on that, as I was saying that, I like to have the pauses and Dan's jumping in and I've got my hand up like, quiet, let people think about this.
Got to work on our body language here, yeah.
I almost laughed at you guys. But, you know, and we're getting real here, and that's really what makes, I really think that's what makes financial planning sexy, is because we're getting real. We're getting to the stuff where it's going to have you, you know, this is an opportunity to have you really look at your relationship with money and consider these things that are like, you know, we often say, oh yeah, one day I'll do this. One day I'll go see a financial planner. One day I'll go get life insurance. One day I'll go get a will, you know, and when you actually need one, it's too late.
Mm-hmm. You can't insure a house that's already burning, right? You got to get the insurance before the fire starts, right?
So what would you say are some of the top money concerns that you see with your clients when you meet with them?
Yeah, and it really depends on where they are in life. So for people who are 50 and above, will I have enough, right? Am I going to be okay? You know, am I going to live longer than my money is going to last me, right? Those are the big concerns. So that's mostly retirement. For people who are younger, it's more like, how do I pay off this mortgage? I've got a $200,000, $400,000, $500,000 mortgage. How the heck are we going to pay this off, right? So those are the biggest money concerns that people have. And they quite often implement strategies that their parents use because they think, oh, why not? So for instance, on your mortgage, if you're eager to pay off your mortgage, then a lot of people say, well, let's just dump extra money against the mortgage. But that is not an effective use of that money.
Okay, so we're actually going to go into examples so that this doesn't sound so dry and conceptual. Dan's actually mm-hmm. going to bring in some examples to support you. So if any of these have been resonating with you, this is really good to stay tuned so that we can walk you through some strategies after this commercial. So,
yeah. Just lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Life is a flow, and enlightenment is simply harmonizing with the way life really is. Then you find that life is effortless, benevolent, and free of all suffering. Hey everyone, this is GP Walsh, and I want to invite you to my brand new radio show that's launching right here on OM Times Radio called The Flow of Enlightenment. I've been a spiritual teacher for decades, and my greatest pleasure is being able to share with you these deep and highly practical spiritual ideas. So join me in The Flow every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern and let yourself be transformed.
I'm so not good enough.
Fail.
They'll judge me.
I'm afraid.
So others
it's
are
already
doing it.
Been done.
Who are you not to fully express who you are, to be your warrior of lights and do business from your fierce, aligned energy? I'm Rosalind Fung, host of Activate Your Soulgasmic Business here on OM Times Radio. Let's get your business turned on to the next level. I invite you to hop on a business soul alignment discovery call with me at rosalindfung.com and let's monetize in your soul mission. Go to rosalynfung.com.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Just hit me up with a private message and we can send you a link, but you'll see it all over my marketing. So with people who are, let's start with the younger generation, just because I think most of our listeners might be more around our age.
Sure, yeah. So like I mentioned, one of the biggest concerns that younger people have is, how do I pay off this mortgage? And if you do anything like your parents did, right, your parents say, well, just make extra mortgage payments, right? Pay it off sooner, add an extra $500 a month. However, doing what your parents did is going to get you the same result as your parents, right? And in that situation, that may mean having a mortgage in your 50s or 60s even, which a lot of people certainly do not want. So when you look at it, if you're making extra payments against your mortgage and your mortgage is only 2%, for instance, in interest, that means your money is only saving you 2%. That's a very ineffective use of money, right? And that's my sexy financial planning term, ineffective and effective. I love those terms. So what I like to do is I like to show people, well, where else could this money be better used, right? Where is the more effective place
for it? Now we're getting sexier.
Yeah. So if you can use this money to invest, and if you're here in Canada, I talk to people about the TFSA, the tax-free savings account. In my opinion, it is the cornerstone of someone's financial plan. Most people, when they go to their bank and they say, hey, I want to start a TFSA, they are misutilizing it. The metaphor that I like to give is that if you have a nail sticking out of a piece of wood, what tool do you use? Do you use a saw to get that nail in the wood? Absolutely not. You use a hammer. Most people are using the TFSA as a saw, where it should be a hammer. Okay. So I say, if you can put that extra $500 a month into your TFSA, and as long as your investment returns are higher than 2%, which is pretty easy in the long run, then it is a more effective place to use that money. You can build up your TFSA over time, and then at some point you'll have enough money in your TFSA to pay off your mortgage years before if you had just paid put extra money against your mortgage right there. So once again, it comes down to efficiency, but that's a financial planning term, but the human term is debt freedom. When do you want your debt eliminated? Because that gives you much more cash flow, and that gives you a more abundant life at that point.
Okay, so thank you very much for that. So I want you guys to just feel into that. Are you taking advantage of the tax-free savings accounts?
Ooh, that was sexy.
And if you're not, you should talk to your financial planner, because that could change the game for you. So, and then can you speak into people who are 50 and above who are really worried about being able to retire successfully and being financially free?
Yeah, for sure. So retirement is a big goal for a lot of people. And those who are 50 and above often ask me the question, am I going to be okay? Right? Basically means, am I going to have enough money to last me for the rest of my life? And as we all know, people are living into their 80s, 90s, even beyond in some cases, right? So having enough money is paramount. I don't think you want to be in your 80s and you run out of money and then you have to eat cat food and you got to move in with your kids and you have to sell your family home that you thought you were going to pass along to your kids. That's an undesirable situation. People don't want that. So what do you do about it? Well, you meet with a financial advisor and you plan out your future. What it comes down to is, you know, here's another financial planning term, tax optimization. What people hear is pay less tax, right? Because especially us here in Canada, we pay a whole bunch of tax. And I know in the US, taxes are still enemy number one in retirement. So if I can help you lay out a plan that minimizes your taxes from this day and for the rest of your retirement, that means you get more of your money. All this money that you've worked hard for your entire life to earn. You want to make sure you're not paying the tax man one penny more than he or she deserves, right? It's your money.
Okay. So I hope that was really helpful for you to consider. If you haven't had those conversations with your financial advisor, then we really suggest that you do. If you don't have a financial advisor, let me tell you guys, if I was not married to one, I would definitely have one for sure.
And you know, I'll just throw in another thing here. People say, well, I don't want to pay for financial advice. And if you want to do it yourself, you know, you can certainly do that too. I actually had a conversation on Facebook with a guy who said, oh, I'd rather do it myself. And I said, great, go for it. You can also do your own dental work, right? However, most people find that managing money is like pulling teeth, right? It's not high up on the priority list of things for people to do. So
leave it to the professionals.
Exactly. A small price to pay to get the right advice. And quite honestly, the tax savings that you get from implementing the right strategies, making your money work effectively for you, will far outweigh the cost of investment advice or financial planning advice. And also, I want to throw one other thing there. Lots of places also do investment plans, but they don't do financial plans. And what that means is they can manage your money, but is it going to be taken out in the most effective way? That's what a financial plan will help determine, whereas an investment plan is just selling one stock and buying another.
Okay, so good to know. These are not things that Dan and I talk about like on a conceptual level, but you know, you guys are probably wondering, like, what's it like to be married to a financial planner? Do you guys talk about money, right? I'm guessing you guys are wondering that. So let's dive into that.
Yeah.
What is it that we talk about? Because Dan really does, you know, we both deal with our finances, but because of his profession, he's the one that manages it like I would delegate it to a financial planner. And then we have conversations about it.
Well, just a few days ago, I wanted to make a pretty significant shift in our investments, and it was a good chunk of money. So, you know, I brought it up with Rosalyn, and I said, hey, you know, this is what I want to do. I don't want to assume that you're all for it, but this is in my professional judgment call. This is what I think is in our best interest. So I'm not just going to make, you know, switches without her acknowledgement of it. Even though she may not understand or may have complete faith in me anyways, I still want to make sure that it's she's aware of what's going on. So there's transparency there. Right?
Absolutely. And I do understand. I make sure to get where Dan's coming from. I totally do trust him, of course. We do have a relationship whereas we do trust each other. You know, he helps me. You educate me, babe. Right, you educate me so I understand what's happening. And then it's, okay, here's what's really sexy. I love it when he tells me, okay, I put X amount of dollars in this account. And there was an account that you put. Can you talk about that on air?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So I can't say the exact specific investment, but it was an investment into green and clean technology, right? And with all the changes happening south of the border in the U.S. with Biden coming in, that's where the momentum is. You know, places like California, they are going to stop selling gasoline-based cars by the year 2035. That's huge. Mm-hmm. California has more people than all of Canada, right? So when California says no more gasoline cars, you know that that's where the momentum is. So if you can put your own money into an asset that takes advantage of this momentum, that and if you can make money off of it, why not, right? So you're doing an ethical good thing and you're making money off of it. That's a win-win as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, and the sexy part is how much money we made off this investment in only
About 2 weeks. We made about $3,000.
Like sexy, yes. I'm just like, that is so amazing. That's the thing, right? Not work harder, have your money work smarter for you. We don't need to be in that mentality. And I will just totally be transparent here. I grew up seeing that mentality, like work like a dog. And then, you know, you basically are more worthy if you work like a dog and
always buy things on sale. Right?
and your value is in how hard you work. And then your money comes to you. To this day, my dad is still a workaholic. He's like 70. Oh my gosh, how old is my dad? Like 74. And he is still working. He loves it. He's an accountant, actually. And it's kind of interesting to watch my kids like watch him because they're like, yeah, we wake up and he's already working. We go to sleep and he's still working. And I'm just like, yeah, my, you know, like I pick that up.
That's not my dream of retirement.
No,
I don't know.
No. And the thing is, they're comfortable. My parents are comfortable. So oftentimes, and I'm noticing this too, as I'm leveling up and I have more time freedom, that I'm noticing this part of myself that almost feels, because financially we are doing really well. Like we know there's money flowing and coming in, and yet there's a part of me, and I can feel that part of me as I sit in the seat of my soul. It's like I'm consciously aware that of that part of me that's like, oh my gosh, I'm not working. I'm not actually directly working, and I'm like, I shouldn't be. I'm not deserving of this money. Can you relate with that? And so that's more about the psychology and energy of money, right? And so it's about how we go into relationship with money. And so for me, you know, it's getting to this place, even though I teach about the psychology and the energy of money, that doesn't mean I'm free of the limiting beliefs that still show up. What gets to be showing up for me, though, is that as I sit in the seat of my soul, so I'm being an observer to my own egoic thoughts, I'm not diving into them and living from that place and acting out of anxiety, but rather I'm watching it. Sometimes it does make me feel anxious, and then I catch myself and I just am able to fall behind those thoughts and just go, ah, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting that this is showing up for me right now, that as I have more time freedom, which is what we all want, come on, let's face it, right? So that we can go and be, do, have all the things that we want. I'm noticing the guilt starting to creep up.
And I also wanted to bring up an important point that we were discussing just a few days ago. It's the mindset that people have depending on where they're, basically if they're rich or if they're poor, right? What is the mindset that people have around money? Well, in general terms, the poorer you are or the less abundance you have, the more conservative or the less of a risk taker you are. And really, it should be the opposite. If you've got not very much to lose, you should be shooting for the moon, right? Your investments should be trying to get the best type of return as possible, right? However, a lot of poor people have the mindset that I just need to hold on to every single penny I have. I can't risk anything. Right. So that, and that's a philosophy, a mindset that keeps them poor. And then on the flip side, let's talk about people who are uber rich. Hockey players are a prime example. Right. It was a few years ago, there was a hockey player here in Edmonton. His name's Leon Draisaitl. He makes $8.5 million a year. He donated $1 million to a local hospital, I believe it was. And I was reading the comments on the sports website, and people were saying, well, he's only doing it for the tax break, right? And yes, sure, there is a tax break with it. However, he just gave $1 million to a hospital, right? Let's not discount that factor, right? PK Subban, when he was in Montreal, right? $10 million, right? Just amazing.
So it's like looking at the beliefs. Isn't that, is without judgment, and isn't that interesting? So even in that circumstance, how would you think about it? Because that is like a mirror for you. The person that thinks, oh, he's just donating that amount of money so that he can have a tax break. We can look at how does that person go into relationship with money? Probably not a very positive one. And so it's really interesting when we can look at circumstances and then reflect it back on ourselves. Okay, so I have a question. What is like the most awkward appointment you've ever had with a client?
Definitely it is when financial secrets are revealed. People have secret bank accounts, right? It's fine to have your own bank account, but to have a secret bank account or a secret credit card, actually, which is kind of a little more intense there, that you don't tell your spouse about, right? Especially when, you know, I had one couple, the guy spent thousands of dollars a year on golf. The wife spent tens of thousands of dollars over her lifetime on shoes. And none of that came out until they both sat down with me and I figured out, you're both making pretty decent income. Where is this money going? How come you've got credit card debt, right? And then the truth came out. And it was awkward, right?
What happened?
Lots of silence. The wife was visibly upset. I think she was getting a little flustered, right? And it's just, it was a very awkward moment. However, I think that just by having that truth come out, it opened up the avenue for us to talk. And these people are my clients now, and they're good clients, and I have a great relationship. They're still married, right? But it's just being able to just discuss why these are happening. You mentioned the psychology. Psychology and money go hand in hand, right? So the psychology of why they felt they needed to hide this, it was... Sorry, you were going to say something?
I was not going to interrupt for once. So.
but it opens up your perspective, and it gets you to question not only of your spouse why that's happening, but also of yourself. Why do you feel the need to hide it from the person that you're married to, the person that you love, right?
Here's the juicy part, right? In terms of like pleasure in the bedroom bank, how you do one part of life is how you do all parts of life. So often when a couple cannot be that honest with each other, that's probably also bleeding into other areas of their life. So in lots of times that could be, you know, you're the third party. So sometimes that's a therapist, sometimes that's a coach. In your role as a financial planner, it's that too. You're holding space to open up those conversations and facilitate those conversations. And I think that's so powerful. All right. So my loves, we are going to go into a break. And when we come back, I'm going to continue picking Dan's brain and some, you know, interesting conversations, questions coming up.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for inspired conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
I want to still do the thread of the couple, so holding space and stuff.
Sure.
Okay, welcome back, love. So, like we were saying, you, Dan, are very much a space holder with the financial planning wisdom for many of your clients who are couples. Like, this is such a beautiful opportunity for them to really be, we'll say, truthful and looking at their relationship with money and how they're going into it and how it impacts the way they go into relationship with each other. And it's something that, like, Dan and I are both very passionate about. As a former registered psychologist, I have a master's in marriage and family therapy. So I was an MFT. And working with couples is just so, like, I get so lit up just seeing the new possibilities, new conversations that are so much more empowered. And the example that you gave of your clients earlier, where there was financial infidelity, I can see that they really took personal accountability, each of them, and were able to have those courageous and brave conversations so that they could continue to grow together. And I'm guessing now we'll say fix their finances so that they're more abundant.
So they're on a better path. Yeah.
I bet you their sex life is also way better. I have no idea who these people are, but I bet you their sex life is way better. I'm sure there's a correlation. Because it's all about vulnerability, right? It's all about connection. And when we can have those intimate conversations, whether it's about money or sexuality or parenting, you know, maybe also another not so sexy topic, but it's more about the process that when you can come together and be so open and vulnerable with each other, that shifts everything. And that's why Dan and I are so excited about our upcoming workshop, Vision 2021 Manifest Money. It's not just for couples, it's also for individuals. However, like, we really want to empower people to have those conversations with themselves and with their spouses.
And regardless of if it's about money or personal relationship, one core concept that Rosalind and I have discovered is...
It's so weird when he calls me Rosalind. He's trying to be professional. I'm shaking my head.
I call her Roz or Foo. I call her Foo because her last name's Fung. So there's a long story behind that.
But I think we should pause and tell that story after.
Okay, sure thing.
Finish your point.
Okay, so my point is, you know, when you're talking about money or any personal issue, speaking the truth often hurts initially. But what we have found is that in the long term, it is always the better course of action, right? So when you're talking about how maybe there are some financial issues that you're hiding from your spouse, but then when the truth comes out, it's a tough conversation to have initially, but like in the situation that we talked about, their relationship improved after that vulnerability was exposed, right? After they had the courage to be vulnerable with each other, right? That's a sign of faith in your partner that I'm okay to talk about this, even though it hurts, right? And I think that's a big step that you can take in any aspect of life.
I think you said something really profound, which is...
Really well, thank you. What is it?
When we speak our truth, at first it hurts. Or, you know, whether it hurts the other person, hurts ourselves, because it's hard. It's hard. And when we allow ourselves to show up and speak our truth, everything gets a shift. We're standing in our power. We're owning ourselves and speaking our voice, our you know, what message or what we've been, if in this case, with the example, it was hiding. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, wow, that's so powerful.
And sometimes the first person you need to speak the truth to is yourself, right? Are you acting in alignment with what is important to you or not, right? So you have to have that conversation with yourself before you can have this conversation with your wife, husband, kids, parents, whatever the case is, best friend.
Can you unpack that a little bit? Like, how do we know if we're acting in alignment?
That's interesting. For me, it's, you know, I trust my gut instinct if I decide to, how can I put this?
Like, do you base it on values? You look back at your values and then...
Yeah. So I look back at my values, and if this is something that is important to me, it just feels comfortable. If I have any second guessing behind it, I try to unpack what that second guessing is, because maybe I'm trying to tell Rosalyn about a feeling, an emotion that I have. But if I feel that I'm maybe holding back or feeling reserved about something, then maybe it's not the truth, right? I don't know how to explain this better.
Ha! I caught ya. I caught ya. I think he's getting a little flustered.
Yeah, it comes down to comfort for me, right? If you're hesitant about saying something, then maybe it's not true.
So it could be not true, or is it because you're, like most of us, we're afraid of being rejected. We're afraid of speaking our truth because we're afraid of being rejected by the other. It's like, oh, I'm not going to be accepted.
Definitely. That is a big fear that people have, for sure.
So then again, going back to the question, how do you know if you're in alignment? Because you're saying the behavior might look like hesitancy. So how can we determine the difference? I think it's like going back to just really feeling into what is it, what's true for me right now? What's true for me right now? And what is it that I want my partner or the world to know? And when we get really clear about that, I think that's alignment.
Clarity for me comes through journaling. So I write down what I want. What do I want to experience? And how do I get to that point of having those experiences, of being in the state that I want to be, right? So for me, having this conversation with myself in written form helps clarify my own situation. So before I have any conversation with anyone else, Roz or whoever else it is, getting clear on my own perspective often helps. If Roz and I have a disagreement on something and we say, well, we got to talk about this tonight, I'm going to be writing some notes down to get my head in a clear space before we have this serious conversation.
And the key is, you guys have heard me say this before, it's always about taking personal accountability rather than pointing fingers at the other person's, like, looking at what is my part in this? What about me is being triggered about the situation? Because everything is neutral until we put meaning to it. So it's really key to feel into what is our part in this. And I actually have an episode about personal, the three levels of personal accountability and the three levels of victim. You can search for that. It's trying to remember what it's called, but it's something like the one major concepts that you need to have in order to ascend. I think it's episode number 3 or 4. So I think it's time to go into our meditation. Yeah, thank you so much, Dan. So as we're moving into this space, you know, I want you to feel into what about our conversation has really pops out at you. Taking your time to just feel into that, the nuggets that you're gonna take away with you today. Maybe it's, I need to go find a financial planner. Or, oh, you know, it's been a while since I've talked to my financial planner. By the way, I would say a good financial planner bases is keeps in touch with you regularly. So if they're not, that might be a red flag. Unless you're just avoiding them, then that also is a red flag for you. So feel into what your takeaways are. What's important to you when it comes to your relationship with money? Okay. And then I'm going to invite you to just drop in, close your eyes, have a soft gaze. And just notice your internal world. Notice what sensations, what emotions lie in there. Without judgment, just observing. Taking a breath in. And then just breathing out. Breathing out anything that doesn't serve or support. You might have a yawn to release. Beautiful. Breathing into your heart space. I'm going to just invite your journey. What's important to you? Let's fast forward to your retirement. How old are you? What's the first age that pops in? Where are you? Who are you with? How are you feeling? What's the first thing you do when you wake up? Are you looking out the window at this beautiful view? What's getting you excited about your day? Is it that you want to feel in retirement? So really feel into your vision. Feel into the sense of freedom. I think it's safe to say you want to feel free. You want to feel taken care of financially. You want to be able to explore your desires in whatever way that looks like, traveling, going for around the block for a walk. Your body is healthy. Spending time with loved ones and friends, or maybe in solitude. You get to decide. And then breathing this into your heart space. What are you thanking yourself for? What are you grateful for? Feeling into this, let's activate this. Feeling into it. Kora ti kira tu kora ti, para kora ti kira tu. Mora kora ti kira tu, a, kora ti I, kora ti ka, kora ti im, para kara ti kira tu kora ti, para kara ti, para kara ti, para kara ti. Mora kira kora ti kira tu kora ti, para kara ti, para kora, para kira, para kira. Breathing in and breathing out. So based on what your vision is, feel into the steps that you need to take right now, today, to manifest this vision. Maybe that is going to connect with a financial planner. Maybe it's connecting with your spouse. Hey, and if you feel called, I invite you to our first official workshop together, Dan and I, to Vision 2021 Manifest More Money. In this workshop, we are going to bring in the energy and psychology of money. We're going to have, it's an experiential workshop, so we're going to have exercises for you, and if you desire for your partner to be here, absolutely, both of you to walk through so that you can really uncover your money beliefs and understand the behaviors that you have around money. And even if you have a healthy relationship with money, this workshop is for you too, because there's always another level. Like I shared, you know, I'm noticing as I sit in the seat of my soul, my own shit is coming up, and that's okay. So we'd absolutely love to host you. We are also bringing guest experts. One is Janet Key of Prosperous Woman Coaching, who was also a guest on my podcast recently. And she's going to speak about the sacred money archetypes. And then Jennifer Prediger is also a financial planner. She's going to help you with your financial destiny and really dreaming into that and making, we're going to bring in practical action strategies. So join us. You can get the link at Bold Sexy Warrior on Instagram or Roslyn Fung Coaching, Bold Sexy Warrior on Facebook. We hope to see you there January 30th. Thank you so much, hun, for being here.
Thank you.